Chapter 11. The Need for Biblical Men.
An old man and woman stayed married for many years even though they couldn't stand each other. And every time they had a confrontation, screams and yelling could be heard deep into the night. In fact, it got so bad that the neighbors could even hear it, and one constant statement they always heard the husband saying to his wife was this: "When I die, I'm going to dig my way up and out of the grave to come back and haunt you for the rest of your life." For many years this kind of behavior continued until one day the man finally died. And after the burial, the wife went straight home and threw a big block party for her neighbors and began to party like there was no tomorrow. But a few of her neighbors, who were surprised at her actions and lack of fear, approached the woman and asked her, "Aren't you afraid, concerned, or at least worried about your husband's statement that when he died he was going to dig his way up and out of the grave to come back and haunt you for the rest of your life?" But the wife continued to smile and simply said, "Let him dig. I had him buried upside down."
Now, how many of you guys would say that couple probably didn't have the most ideal marriage? The truth couldn't be buried, could it? And how many of you guys have uncovered this truth? That when it comes to marital problems, no matter how deep you try to bury them, sooner or later they still manage to come to the surface. And speaking of ideal marriages, one guy said that his version of an ideal marriage is between a deaf husband and a blind wife. But seriously, is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden? Folks, I'm here to tell you that the answer is absolutely not. Yes, Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, and along with this, they also blew the chance of having a perfect marriage. But the good news is that even though you and I may never have a perfect marriage, it doesn't mean that we've got to resign ourselves to a life of personal pain and silent suffering. It just means that it's going to take some time and lots of work. Why? Because folks, marriages aren't made in heaven, they're made right here on earth. Therefore, we're going to continue looking at the steps for having a marriage built to last. We already saw the first step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge that marriage is under attack. The second step was to acknowledge that men and women are different. The third step was to acknowledge that love is an action. The fourth step was to acknowledge the need for romance. The fifth step was to acknowledge the need for communication. The sixth step was to acknowledge the need for reconciliation. The seventh step was to acknowledge the need for honor. And in the last chapter we saw that the eighth step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge the need for intimacy. And there we saw that if we're going to avoid being split apart in our marriages, then we need to develop intimacy with one another by spending time with each other, sharing an interest in each other, and staying faithful to each other. But people, that's not the only thing we need to be aware of. The ninth step in building a lasting marriage is to acknowledge the need for biblical men. People, one of the reasons why we're seeing not only marital decay, but societal decay as well, is simply because men are refusing to be men. And if that isn't bad enough, even when men try to become men, society is out there giving them the wrong definition or role model of what a true man is. For instance, most people think that a true man is like Archie Bunker, who's a mini tyrant that keeps everyone in line with his explosive outbursts of anger. Or maybe a true man is like Rambo, where they're rough and tough and have muscles on top of their muscles, even under their armpits. Or maybe a true man is like Homer Simpson, who's a lazy mindless idiot that only exists for beer and television. Or maybe a true man is like Al Bundy, who's a frustrated wannabe macho man with only one thing on his mind. Sound familiar? Of course it does, because these are society's role models for men. But folks, I hope this doesn't come as a surprise to you, but did you know that none of those guys are real men? Maybe in the world's eyes, but not in God's. You see, if marriages are going to be restored and society put back on the right track, then we don't have a need for more worldly men, we have a desperate need for more biblical men. So just what does a biblical man look like? Hey, great question. I'm glad you asked. Let's take a look. The first characteristic of a biblical man is that he's a sacrificial leader.
Ephesians 5:23-25. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Now folks, we all know it's great being a guy, right men? For instance, phone conversations only last 30 seconds, we can go to the bathroom alone, and we can even leave a hotel room without having to make the bed. But it gets even better. You see, according to our text, the man or husband is also called to be a sacrificial leader of the family, just as Christ is the sacrificial leader of the church. In fact, men being leaders has been God's plan from the very beginning of time. Why? Well, thanks for asking. The first reason why men are called to be leaders is because it's woven into our name. You see, the word father in the Hebrew literally means to decide. Therefore, a father is a decider or leader who makes the necessary tough decisions in life for the well-being of his family. The second reason why men are called to be leaders is because it's woven into our nature. You see, men in general tend to be physically stronger and more durable under stressful times, which just so happens to come in handy when those tough decisions need to be made, thus making for an effective leader. However, even though God has wired men to be leaders, that doesn't mean all men are godly leaders. Have you noticed that? And why is that? Thanks for asking. The first reason why some men never become godly leaders is because of our sin nature. And what our sin nature does is twist and contort that which is meant for good and turn it into evil. And so that positive strength that men naturally have oftentimes ends up being used in a negative way by being brutish or tyrannical. Instead of providing help, they use it to produce harm. Oh, but that's not all. The second reason why some men never become godly leaders is because of our sinful society. You see, our sinful society is out there encouraging men right and left to not be sacrificial leaders, but rather to be selfish leaders. They tell men to use their God-given abilities for their own profit and prestige. They're to lead the way by climbing that corporate ladder at all costs, no matter how many people they've got to step on to get there, leaving behind a trail of destruction, and all for personal gain. But folks, anybody can be a leader, but not everyone is a godly leader. And the Bible simply says that a godly leader is a man who readily makes sacrifices for his family, just as Christ made for the church. Folks, we don't need any more worldly men, we need biblical men, men who will lead in a sacrificial way. The second characteristic of a biblical man is that he's a spiritual leader.
Genesis 25:21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant.
Now folks, we all know it's great being a guy, right men? For instance, you can kill your own food, cleaning the toilet is optional, and wedding plans just seem to take care of themselves. But it gets even better. You see, according to our text, the man or husband is called to be a praying leader for his family just as Christ prays for the church. You see, God has not only called men to lead their families physically, but spiritually as well. They are to sacrifice not only their lives but also their time by praying for them. However, even though God has placed the heavy mantle of spiritual leadership upon men, that doesn't mean all men are spiritual leaders. Have you noticed that? And why is that? Thanks for asking. The first reason why some men never become spiritual leaders is because of our sin nature. And so sometimes, rather than leading the way spiritually, we're tempted to resort to apathy. And instead of providing prayer support for the church, we end up supporting the couch. And then we forsake our role as spiritual leader and let the wife assume the responsibility. However, the problem with this is that when a man gives up his role of spiritual leadership and then later decides to be a real man and start leading his family, it's a rare thing for the woman to give it back. Oh, but that's not all. The second reason why some men never become spiritual leaders is because of our sinful society. You see, our sinful society is out there encouraging men to not be praying leaders, but rather to be playing leaders. They tell men to use all their God-given time for their own pleasure. They're to invest all their energy and skill into sports and hobbies and leave that sissy spiritual stuff to the women and children. But the Bible says that a real man is not one who can develop the skill for hitting golf balls off of a tee, but rather one who energetically prays for his family developing calluses on his knees. Folks, anybody can be a leader, but not everyone is a godly leader. We don't need any more worldly men, we need biblical men, men who will lead in a spiritual way. The third characteristic of a biblical man is that he's a secure leader.
Ephesians 5:28-29. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man is actually loving himself when he loves his wife. No one hates his own body but lovingly cares for it, just as Christ cares for his body, which is the church.
Now folks, we all know it's great being a guy, right men? For instance, none of your coworkers have the power to make you cry, you don't have to shave below your neck, and flowers and or duct tape fix everything. But it gets even better. You see, according to our text, the man or husband is called to secure provisions for his family just as Christ provides for the church. You see, God has not only called men to lead their families physically and spiritually, but provisionally as well. They are to sacrifice not only their lives and time but their energy as well by providing for them. However, even though God has given men a strong drive and determination and very aggressive nature to secure provisions in this hectic world, that doesn't mean all men are secure leaders. And why is that? Thanks for asking. The first reason why some men never become secure leaders is because of our sin nature. And so sometimes, rather than leading the way provisionally, we're tempted to resort to laziness. Instead of providing the support of a steady income, we expect others to support us with their income, be it our wives, family, or even the government. But let me clarify something here. I'm not saying that if you ever find yourself in a position where you temporarily need the assistance of your spouse, family, or government to make ends meet that it's necessarily wrong. Hello. We all run into tough times and praise God for strong families who stick together and for receiving help wherever we can get it. But I am talking about the general lazy attitude of the average American today who expects something for nothing and thinks society owes them a secure future without having to work hard for it. Now that is wrong. Oh, but that's not all. The second reason some men never become secure leaders is because of our sinful society. You see, our sinful society is out there encouraging men to not provide for the benefit of others but their own. And so we'll break our back to earn the money for that new bass boat or pair of golf shoes, but we won't surrender the funds to provide for a new bathrobe or tennis shoes for our wife and kids. But the Bible says that a real man is not one who has all the best toys that money can buy, but rather one who works hard at providing the best for his family. Folks, anybody can be a leader, but not everyone is a godly leader. We don't need any more worldly men, we need biblical men, men who lead in a secure way. The fourth characteristic of a biblical man is that he's a sensitive leader.
1 Peter 3:7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered.
Now folks, we all know it's great being a guy, right men? For instance, you don't care if someone doesn't notice your new haircut, and you can watch a game in silence for hours without your buddy thinking, he must be mad at me, or what's really cool about being a guy is this, one mood, all the time. But it gets even better. You see, according to our text, the man or husband is called to be a caring leader for his family just as Christ cares for the church. You see, God has not only called men to lead their families physically, spiritually, and provisionally, but emotionally as well. They are to sacrifice not only their lives, time, and energy, but their understanding as well by caring for them. And God has equipped men for this special ministry by making men in general less emotional. In fact, it's this God-given trait that provides stability, especially in times of crisis. You see, men, I don't know if you've noticed this, but sometimes our wives can get just a little bit emotional, especially when you encounter trouble. And there's nothing wrong with emotions. In fact, God is the one who gave them to us. But sometimes they can get out of hand and cause a lot of harm. For instance, true story, in 1972 there was a Czechoslovakian lady named Vera Čermák. And she became so upset over her husband's behavior that she tried to commit suicide by leaping from a third-story window. However, when she jumped, her husband just happened to be walking by at that moment, and she landed on him and killed him. And so men, the lesson is this. God has given us this natural emotional stability to counteract those times when the emotions get dangerous, not just for our wives' benefit, but for our own. However, even though God has wired men to provide emotional stability in an unstable world, that doesn't mean that all men are sensitive leaders. And why is that? Thanks for asking. The first reason why some men never become sensitive leaders is because of our sin nature. You see, rather than leading the way with a warm hug, we're tempted to back off and resort to the cold shoulder. And so when tough times come, rather than checking in quick to provide her with emotional stability, we check out by being indifferent to her emotional needs. Oh, but that's not all. The second reason some men never become sensitive leaders is because of our sinful society. You see, our sinful society is out there encouraging men to not be understanding toward our wives but being uninterested in their lives. Society is telling men to focus all their God-given skill of understanding and natural ability to develop plans for their own private projects. Yet, the Bible says that our biggest project in life is to understand our wives. And I know that sounds like mission impossible, because try as we might, we men are never going to fully understand women, and God knew that, so He made it easy on us. You see, the Lord specifically defined just what it is that we're to understand about our wives, and that is this, that women are weaker vessels. Now this isn't saying that women are less in value, but rather in the original Greek it means that they are more precious and are to be treated delicately and affectionately like a piece of fine china. And men, the Bible is not saying that you and I need to turn into some sort of wimpy Harvey Milquetoast kind of guy like society would say, in order to show affection to our wives. Not at all. That's not God's plan for us. Rather, He's wired us with less emotions and more physical strength so we can take a beating and keep bouncing back like a durable plastic cup, no matter what life throws at us. And this is what we are to understand. Our wives are not made like us. They are precious and delicate like fine china and need to be handled with care. Their physical and emotional makeup can't take the hits of life like we can. God has wired men in general to be logical, straightforward thinkers who are great at developing and making plans. And this is not only handy in times of crisis, but also in figuring out our wife's emotional needs and in developing a logical plan to care for them. Therefore, we are to use our God-given strength not to strong-arm our wives into showing them who's boss, but rather to use our strong arms in holding them to show them we care. And men, this is not only good for building intimacy in your marriage, but it's also great in building your bank account.
Husbands who kiss their wives every morning before leaving for work usually live 5 years longer than those who do not. A kissing husband has fewer automobile accidents, loses up to 50% less time from work because of illness, and earns 20 to 30% more than a non-kissing husband.
Hey, how many of you men are going to start kissing your way to that new bass boat? A new set of tires could only be a pucker away. But seriously, men, we are called by God to hold our wives affectionately and in high esteem. Why? Because they are precious and delicate and need to be handled with sensitive care. Folks, anybody can be a leader, but not everyone is a godly leader. We don't need any more worldly men. We need biblical men, men who will lead in a sensitive way. Men of God, learning to be biblical men is at the heart of having a healthy marriage. Why? Because God has not only wired us for this special ministry, but He's also given women a natural attraction to all of these qualities. You see, most women aren't drawn to a tyrannical Archie Bunker. But they are drawn to man who will use his God-given authority in a sacrificial way for her highest interests. And most women aren't drawn to a muscle-bound Rambo. But they are drawn to a man who stands in the gap spiritually for his family with callous knees from prayer. And most women aren't drawn to a self-indulgent lazy Homer Simpson. But they are drawn to a man who works hard at providing sustenance and security for his household. And most women aren't drawn to a one-track mind Al Bundy. But they are drawn to a man who uses his mind to understand a woman's need to be treated specially and handled with care. And men, if we can do that, we're not only being obedient to God, but we'll be blessed by God with an intimacy from our wives that we've never ever even dreamed of. How? By being biblical men. People of God, this is the great news. Being married doesn't mean your life is always going to be filled with personal pain and silent suffering. God never said that it'd be easy. He just said that it's going to take some time and lots of work. And if we'll just acknowledge the need for biblical men, then we're well on our way to having a marriage built to last.